Let's pray, then we will continue to read here. There is no much to read. Maybe tonight we'll finish it. Let's bow our head and thank our Lord. Hallelujah. Glorious Heavenly Father, with our hearts we thank you because in your faithfulness you are always present when you are invited. Yourself, you said, where two or three are gathered in thy name, in this wonderful name of Jesus Christ, you are in their midst. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Lead us tonight. Sanctify our lives through your word. With your precious blood, forgiving our sins and giving us of yours. You see that we are at the end and we are living in the end time. We want to reach that goal for which you called us and you destined us. Bless your word once more tonight. What we will read, give us strength to continue our work. We are truly at the end, and it's also true that our strengths must be renewed. And you said, day after day, you'll be with us and you will renew our strength. We thank you also for those who will come later on for the family's tune. May you bless the brothers and the sisters and give to each one of us what we need. To you belong honor, praises, and adoration. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord be thanked. Last time we stopped at the end of page 18. I want to tell you first that I print the booklet. I made 40 copies also for Brother Bruno. I made the copies and I divide them into small booklet because it was big, and we believe that the Lord will help us. They are the extract of the circular letter of Brother Frank regarding marriage and divorce, and also other topics. They were translated in Italian. It might be some errors, but just for the language. But as you all know Italian, so for you it's going to be okay, because there are some mistakes with the translation. Once, when we will finish to read here, if there is nothing else to read or to do, as I said last time, maybe we read also the answer and questions of Brother Branham. We all would like to ask questions or to have also answers. For this reason, on Wednesday we have this fellowship together for us to be together, and if we have questions or worries, we can speak about it. Since 2005, We had our meeting on Wednesday, and we never changed it. But now, but for what is taking place before us, we have decided to change this day. Anyway, we are here, and we want to continue as the Lord will give us, and we'll go forward. I'd like to read the circular letter of the year. Of the year 70, here is Brother Frank. He's not there's nothing to do with Livelle anymore, but he's about Brother Frank here. Question and answer from page 19. Now, Brother Franco is reading. How are the elders recognized and what condition must they fulfill? Intentionally, until now, I have not dealt with these questions because I had received from the Lord only the task of going from city to proclaim the revealed word of God there. I had not been ordered to found communities, nor to recognize elders. I have a feeling that no new dogmas will come out of this last and final proclamation of the word by the body of Jesus Christ as a whole, which will be raptured. However, considering the existing churches, I cannot avoid the responsibility of proclaiming the counsel of God. The order of the building of the church is one of them, and I must demonstrate how the different services are at work in the community. This one is of the circular letter of September 72, and that was like the time when the Lord called me, and it was 48 years ago. We cannot understand how during the work there were deviation among the brethren. They depart from the scriptural things of the Word of God. I will continue. The title here is The Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a human organization, but a creation of God. Christ said, "And I said to you that on this stone I will build my church, and that the gate of hell will not prevail against it," is written in John 6. The birth and the foundation of the church assembly of Jesus Christ comes from an act of God. His church is placed solely under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's true that we know these things, but I want that. The last time that we read these things, I want them to remain in us, because the true Church of Jesus Christ is led by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we forgot this thing because of situations or hard situation among brethren in the assembly. And these problems, they bring us to doubt that the church is led by God. We continue to read. Men's interpretation and dogmas have no place in this. The model is given to us in the foundation and in the upbuilding of the first Christian church, as it is reported to us in the scripture. So in the church, we all know that the first church was born in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Then we read also Acts 11, chapter 11 verse 26, I believe. And then we can read also in the book of Exodus when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, because the word church means to bring out So they came out of denomination, they came out of sins, and they were put under the leadership of God for them to remain in the Word of God and to be edified in the Word of God. So we will read Acts chapter 11, verse 26. We read it quickly. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Because he's there, it's true that the beginning was at Pentecost. So the beginning of the New Testament church was in Pentecost. But here in Acts 11, we can read from verse chapter 11. We read from chapter 11, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas. So I will read first the verse 19 for you to understand the context, to understand what took place in the first church after the Pentecost, after the 120 were baptized, after the 3,000 and 5, after those people were added to the church. And here in verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So you see, they were preaching the word of God. And here in verse 25, you can read the rest alone. And we then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. So they gathered all this burden. We can say they were scattered, or they went abroad for the tribulation. And they were once more gathered together. Those brethren, they were already converted from the first preaching of Peter. So, and then Saul gathered them together, and for one year he taught much people. So you have to be careful. So the assembly, I say it in advance, we'll read it later. So the assembly is made of those who the Lord add or the Lord takes back. So there's a problem maybe with your brother microphone. So the assembly is not made just with those who are being added, but also with those who were scattered. Then they are brought back. So it's not just about those who were evangelized first, but also the new converters. So this verse is important because here it was in the beginning when the church was born in Antioch, and in chapter 13 then you can read what it was inside there. It's from there that all the ministries came out. And it's important, it was important for us to underline this point. We continue to read. In particular, we want to highlight the five ministries, gift or services. So let's stay in the ministries. So we know that the ministry is a gift of God, is a service that God gives you. God is not we doing a service to God, but it's God giving us a service. We continue to read. And the institution is our recognition of the elders to show how the function in the church. According to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, God placed apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors and teachers in the church. These five ministries are intended to edify the body of Christ and to lead the saints to become skilled in the practice of the service in the assembly. To lead the saint to become skilled in the practice of the service in the assembly. This is important. So, skilled for them, skilled to serve God, skilled to submit themselves to the word of God. Where these five ministries are lacking, there can be no question of the exercise of service, nor of the upbuilding of the body of Christ. You see how many things they were put aside. In the beginning, everything was fine, but then during time, this thing was destroyed. But the Lord has restored all things and is still restoring today, and is putting everything at his place. And I repeat here, where these five ministries are lacking, there can be no question of exercise of this service, nor of the upbuilding of the body of Christ. So that means all the body, so all the church together, as is written in Ephesians 4:11. So all the body has to take benefit of those gifts. Some brethren, they did not recognize or they did not realize this. God has given these five ministries to the whole church, and that is why it takes a divine calling to exercise it. So a divine vocation is a vocation that God put before the foundation of the word in a person. And this thing then, it come to be manifested. No apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or doctor can be called or elected by a church. That's what we always say. Although there are always false apostles, false ministries, false teachers, but God has always put this point at the first place. On the contrary, it is well written, He gave, so it's him who does it, independently of your will or my will, is God who gives. In the New Testament church, we find first the service of the apostle, for the Lord has entrusted to them the ministry of his word. Everything that had been revealed to the Old Testament prophet regarding the Easter of salvation, we see it accomplished over the ages of the New Testament church. It's true. The apostle had a particularly penetrating view of God's work of salvation, and they had been instructed to communicate to the church what the Lord had given them. They were instructed to communicate to the church what the Lord had given them. Paul held his apostolic service in high esteem to the point that he always presented himself as such at the beginning of his letter. So we have to distinguish the direct call of God, so the divine calling. So the difference between the direct calling for a service, for a precise service in Jeremiah. Let us read in Jeremiah. Let us read in Jeremiah for us to be able to distinguish in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Also, when we spoke about our Lord Jesus Christ, is written, he was destined for this precise thing. Verse 4. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. You see, here is a direct call of God. Like also John the Baptist was a direct call of God. I believe you have understood the difference between. Also, in the book of Acts, is written that the Lord God has sent us the Lord Jesus, whom he was destined. So it's different than the five ministry. They are there for the will of God to edify the church. For this reason, I wrote here also Act 22, verse 14. Act 22, verse 14. Let us see. Here it speaks about Paul. And he said, so here Ananias is speaking, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. You see this difference, that is important. For this reason, when the brethren departed from the right way, they start saying, the Lord send me, the Lord send me, the Lord send me. So the word sending or sent has a particular significance. As we read, is necessary in the body of Jesus Christ to have the five ministries. Otherwise, the church could not be edified. If the brethren are not realizing it, or even when they see they don't accept it, God still works. Continue to read. Now we turn page. I will finish to read here. He wrote to the Romans, Paul, bondman of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, someone sent and commissioned. Or destined, as you want to call it. It's important, this thing. It's important that it stay in our heart. Separated to God's glad tidings, which he had before promised by his prophet in the holy writing. In 1 Corinthians 1, he said, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In 2 Corinthians and Galatians 1 and Colossians chapter 1, he writes almost the same word. In Titus chapter 1, he said, Paul, servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of the elect of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to piety. It is clear from this word that Paul was not emphasizing his service as an evangelist, but rather his responsibility for the faith of the elect of God and the knowledge of truth. Now the brother is reading again this part. Paul was also an evangelist. The apostle does also this. The apostle stay in the place to start the church. So the apostle evangelized, then he start the church. But if today a servant of God appear at the beginning of his letter or at the beginning of his preaching as Paul did, we would have the impression that it is not appropriate. However, it's true. It's true. We would have this impression that it's not appropriate. But the word of God taught us to discern the spirit and to see if he's in the truth. The problem is that today when someone presents himself in certain way, they are fight. But only God can confirm and will confirm his word. And it's like this. However, Paul considered it fitting, led by the Spirit of God, to say from the beginning of his letter what were his service and the charge God had entrusted to him. This fact shows that as a man of God, he represented and expressed the divine point of view. What he developed on the history of salvation from the prophetic vision was abiding as the doctrines he wrote. Not only the doctrinal part, but also the plan of God, the plan of God. That means what God has done since Genesis, the plan of God for that generation, for that dispensation, that was important. For that, the plan for that dispensation. We continue. The ordinances for the church concerning baptism, the Lord's Supper, the exercise of the gift of the Spirit, and the recognition or identification of elders in the local church had been revealed to him by God. So we have Corinthians, Romans. God has revealed him this, the ordinances established in the church of the living God. Then we continue. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God had set certain in the assembly, first apostle, secondly prophet, thirdly teacher. So we see that the assembly is not founded by men, but by Jesus Christ. Why this? Because if even though they were women, they were men, but they were led by the Spirit of God. For this reason, the church is now founded by men. The true assembly of God is founded just by the Spirit of the of God. So when he is not founded by God, he's founded by men, and everything that has a started, a starting, has also the end. For this reason, we must have this assurance that it's God who does the things, not men. We continue to read. We also recognize that no doll that is called Church of the Lord is necessarily the real. It's true. Not all those who call me Lord, Lord. People saying here, there, and then in another side, not all of them are of the Lord. This biblical statement is given to help everyone test themselves, to help everyone test themselves to see if they truly belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. As in Ephesians 4:11, it is written here that God established in the church the first apostle, secondly prophet, thirdly teachers. I'll read it once more. Let us read in First Corinthians. For us to see that the church is not built by men, but by Jesus Christ, is not founded. For this reason, till today, so we can say since Genesis, in the Old Testament, the family of Abraham, already with the family of Abraham, they were doing the sacrifice of, they were giving sacrifice or bringing sacrifice to God, and they were praying. Also, when they went out of Egypt, they always been this fellowship. So we continue to read. All who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ respect the divine orders and recognize the ministry of the servant sent from God, whether an apostle, a prophet, or a teacher. You see? They recognize all those who are in the body of Christ. They recognize this this truth that God founded his church through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and through men or people whom himself he has chosen. Naturally, today we don't see what is written here. So we don't see them, but they exist. Whatever God intended for the upbuilding of the assembly, those who are part of the body of Christ take it with gratitude. Generally, we recognize the ministry of a pastor or an evangelist. So everyone speaks about the pastor or an evangelist. Also, in the denominational church, there's this this thing. They could recognize easily the minister, pastor, or the evangelist. But with the regard to the other three services, it seemed to be quite different. However, God judged that these were necessary, and he intended them for the upbuilding of the assembly. We can read in Acts chapter 13. What we read before. Let us take Acts chapter 13. We read before. So a sister has a question.
So. So, sister, ask a question about the two seed. Sister want to know about the different seed. And Brother Franco answered that when we will finish, they'll talk about it. So we are reading again here. However, God judged that these were necessary and he intended them for the building of the assembly. We can read in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Here they were prophets and teachers. As we read in chapter 11, verse 20, 26, how that this church was founded. Now in Act 13, the church is there. So the church is there. And in this church, they were already. They were already like prophet. So they were already ministering. Now we read. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. So the ministry, So the principal or the main ministry for the teaching for so the prophet and teachers, so they were there for the instruction of the brethren or for the believers. That's why it's written just prophet and teachers. Also in Acts where we read before, it was not mentioned about other ministries. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophet and teacher, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manner, which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas, Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So they pray for them. But it was not for them to receive a gift, but it was just a confirmation of what God gave them. It's God who gives the gift, so it's predestination. And today we can say it boldly because we have the revelation. God revealed us His word, and this is important. Is important. You read again verse 2 and now verse 3, and lay their hand them and send them away. So this is important to understand. There was something that I give you that is kind of an information in the message. I accuse this generation. Brother Branham lay his hand on two brothers. He's seen already that those two brothers had the gift, and so he's seen in them the gift. We do not know the which kind of ministry they have, but Brother Branham he lay his hand upon them for them to go and preach. Also with Brother Frank was done the same thing in Krefeld, the brother man. In verse 4, it's written, so they being sent for by the Holy Ghost, so we see that they were not sent by men, but the men were the instrument. So as written here, Simeon, Lucius, Manian, Herod, all of them, they were just instrument in God's hand. They did just the will of God. They were already established. So Paul and Barnabas, for this reason, today they are still, and be careful, I say that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ too, and God has to grant us grace, because many depart without, or many start preaching without the Holy Spirit, without the confirmation. For the confirmation comes in the church. The confirmation comes where there is already the institution given by the Holy Spirit. It's there that the confirmation is given. So we see how many people departed or went to preach without being sent. Even though if the Lord say there are few workers, many put themselves forth. Be careful. I say it again today, because it's going to be a register and it's going to stay. The knowledge comes from that kind of knowledge, because you need also memory for you to memorize passages or quotes. You need memory. That is not is nothing. It doesn't count. What counts is the approbation or the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And still today, we see this kind of people who are still in circulation. They are still there in our midst. But the Lord will grant grace, and He will confirm, as we heard, because we truly need the Lord to lead us. And the one who is led by the Holy Spirit, you will continue. But the one who is led by the human wisdom will depart. What is the confirmation of the Holy Spirit? Is what we said. We were in Lausanne. This letter is of 72. Exactly when God called me, so saved me, I came to the Word of God, and is there where we start bringing the Word of God in Italy, before Brother Janton, before all the brethren, in Belgium also, etc. Then he continued. But I want to say that before the Lord, that He confirmed that the confirmation must be there. Confirmation must come from the local church, where this special blessing was instituted or were established. We continue to read. So we are continuing to read. Be careful how many destructions, how many break hearts were happened because of some brethren. Because some people, they start saying, I heard and audible voice. God sent me with an audible voice. And no, there was a fact that Brother Frank said at that time, you have to know the time when God calls you, the hour, the day. So many were pushed also them to say the same thing. And there was a confusion. But God has granted us grace to resist or to endure during all these attacks. I continue to read. This one I added in my notes. Here is where is the key assurance of that person. So as we read before, and as Brother Frank said, he wanted to show us how to recognize that we serve the Lord. We read it before. Which are the task in the kingdom of God, how someone should recognize or can recognize if it was called. This circular letter was made was written 48 years ago. I reflect upon it. I believe you have the circular letter home. In the circular letter, it spoke about the ministry in the Church of Christ. I continue to read. Today, we often hear people say, we have Christ. And we do not need apostle and prophet. Does this mean that the early church did not have Christ? And it is the reason why God established apostle, prophet, doctors. Does this mean that the church of Antioch did not have Christ because their prophet and doctors carried out the ministries under the direction of the Holy Spirit? It is the opposite that is true. Each assembly that will truly have Jesus Christ will also, underline it please, will also have the services within him. Within it is important. He will have it. No, like people say, they have to be revealed at the end when the latter rain will come. This is a nonsense. It's a diabolic thing. It's a false teaching. We can't say it boldly and clearly. We continue. Each assembly that will truly have Jesus Christ will also have the services, the ministries within it. The service of an apostle consists mainly in going to the mission field, not only to preach your gospel there, as is the case with evangelists, but to stay in one place, or as we said before, we can see the life of Paul. In the beginning, he stayed here in Antioch, then he went 2 years there, and he founded churches. And they were founded by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Do you see? But to stay in one place until one assembly is born, and that the elders can be appointed there. Acts chapter 28:23. Acts chapter 28, let us read it. We read it also last time. Acts chapter 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading that concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophet, from the morning till evening. You see here also verse 24, then verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his home. Here to confirm just the task of the apostle. So without this ministry, this is something that's I wrote down myself. Without these ministries, the church is departed or will go astray. Because they keep control of the will of God. Amen. So the apostle and the prophet, they keep the church in the right lane. We continue to read here. The service of the New Testament church prophet is to expose the prophetic word to the Lord's church according to the divine meaning. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul writes, and let 2 or 3 prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if there be a revelation to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for ye can all prophesy one by one. Thus all may ye learn, and all be encouraged. And spirits of prophet are subject to prophet. Why would the Bible give such information if God had not intended to practically lead his people through prophetic ministries? It is clear that this is not about the gift of prophecy. We know it. We see it by the context because it's written. But if there be a revelation to another sitting there, let the first be silent, in 1 Corinthians 12. But during a prophecy, someone can never be interrupted. A prophecy is a word coming directly from God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in verse 6, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either in revelation or in knowledge or in prophecy or in teaching? So here the chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Most people only picture the prophet as predicting things to come or revealing things that are present that concern the church. You see, there's still confusion among the people of God. Prophetic service, however, is revealed in the New Testament in various ways, especially in that the prophetic word is communicated to the church under the direction by the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the correct way. We often find closely allied the service of apostle, that of prophet, and that of doctor. So they going all together. One cannot be separated from others. In 2 Timothy 1:11, Paul writes, to which I have been appointed in herald and apostle and teacher of the nation. You see how it goes together, these three ministries, how they are united together. In verse 13, he said, have a doctor, so the service of a doctor, so a teacher, it does not have the task of the prophet. A doctor does not have the task of the prophet. But we know, and we can say it, that this ministry of doctor that God gave to Brother Frank gave it goes together with the prophetic word, with the plan of God. For this reason, he could put today all things at their place, things said by the prophet, because God cannot send. God cannot do nothing, but unless he reveal his word to a prophet, is sacred. So everything depends initially by what God revealed or what God said. And that goes with obedience and the submission of the word of God. A doctor takes into account all the aspects of the biblical teaching that concern the church. The service of an evangelist is better known to us. We all know it. And as Brother Frank said before, a pastor and an evangelist, they are those ministries that we all know. However, we will take the evangelist Philip from Acts 8 to serve as an example. An evangelist is a servant of God filled with the Holy Spirit who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ with dynamism and whose service is confirmed in a very special way by signs, miracles, healing of sick. Like the other four services, the one of the shepherd pastor is not limited to a local community, but it's extended over the whole assembly of the Lord. For this reason, these ministries are not linked or limited with the local church. We read it later. So the service of shepherd bears the responsibility for good health of the church. You can read John chapter 10. The man who really received from God the gift of the shepherding knows which spiritual food to good shepherd prescribed for his sheep. We read the appointment or designation of the elders. In the Lord's assembly, the elders are not established by a majority election, not by a votation, but by the apostle or the servant of God designated by them. You can read in Acts 14:23. We know all these verses. And having chosen them elders in each assembly, having prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord. And also in Titus 1:5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou mightest go on and set the right what remain unordered, and establish elders in each city. The bishops are also among the elders because they are, as several translations make it, overseers of the church. So the overseers, they are the elders. We read Nicolaitanism, all those things. The elder is overseer. Yes, to watch over or to control. Yes, to watch over or to control. So as Brother Frank said, the spirit of the shepherd, even though in his ministry we go also to preach in other churches, but he has this spirit to keep together the flock of Jesus Christ. So this word of a seer does not have the meaning that we give it often today. A bishop is a supervisor, or president in a local assembly, and is part of the elder, and is part of the elders. It is when a brother is an elder that he can aspire to surveillance. Whoever thinks that the current understanding of the term bishop or overseer is right, let him remember, however, that in the church of Philippi, there were several overseers. As we said before, we said in the past meeting, one is a service, another one is a man, is the service. So the one is the service, another one is the man. We read it already. So it's the same person, So the overseer is surveying over the church, but the elders is the person. Here in we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are at Philippi, to the bishops and to the deacons. We see that in a local church there were several overseers. These overseers were part of the elders of the church. In 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 1, we read, if anyone aspires to exercise oversight, surveillance, he desires a good work. From verse 2, we have a description of the virtue and faculties were required for an elder. He must be without reproach and manage his own house well. He must not be a new converted or a new convert, and he must receive a good testimony from the people of the outside. He must be honorable, well ordered in his conduct, hospitable. And all these requirement, the elder must have them. So he must have this requirement in his heart, and it's necessary also for him to give themselves to this, to give himself to this requirement. Because if he's not cultivate, so he's not giving himself, so he's pushing himself in order to reach all this requirement, he will go astray. We continue to read. Because just the teacher established by God for the whole church are responsible for it, so are the elders also for their local assembly, and they must be able to expose the biblical doctrine to it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13, Paul writes, but we beg you, brethren, to acknowledge those who labor among you and take the lead among you in the Lord, and admonish you and regard them exceedingly in love on account because of their work. Be in peace among yourself. It is right. Let us read in Hebrew 13:17. There are also other passages, but let us read in Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 13, is written 17:13. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There is also in another place that Paul say in Corinthians, he spoke also about to obey to the rulers. Let us continue. It is the right and the necessary position in the local assembly. It cannot base its trust solely upon apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, but it must also have full confidence in the elders and bishops, overseers of the assembly. It is only in this way that peace and blessing can be guaranteed in the assembly. These are a deep teaching and important, and blessing can be guaranteed in the assembly. In First Timothy chapter 5:17, it is written, let the elders who take the lead among the saints well be esteemed worthy of double honors, especially those laboring in the word of teaching. It is an order from the Lord, and it must be kept, so that the elders may perform their service with joy. Only in this way can they exercise their service of preacher and teacher with full concentration. Now, in the same chapter, verse 19, in the same chapter in Timothy, do not receive any accusation against an elder except on the testimony of two or three witnesses. This one I wrote down, that is my own notes. As the church cannot stand without the body of Christ cannot stand without the five ministries, also the local church cannot stand without the elders. This is so the elders in the local church, they must continue the same ministry, so the same doctrine, say they continue the work of God, because the work belongs to God and is of God. The church belongs to God. He is the one who has to take care of it. You see how many false teaching people are saying, these are my shepherd. You have not to go there. Those are my shepherd. Those are my sheep. Those are my sheep here. You have not to go there and preach them. That's what took place in the past years. We see how people are jealous as they were their sheep, but they are not realizing that the sheep are of the Lord. And the church belongs to the Lord. It's important. People were jealous. And the same jealousy was in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden with Cain. And the spirit of Cain, I call it Cainite. I said before my heart, this spirit is the spirit of jealousy. If this spirit depart not from the midst of the church will be always under the influence of the devil. There's no other way. There is no way for the church to be restored totally and to bring the fruit of the Holy Spirit if this spirit is still there. It's going to be hard. For this reason, it is important to say it. And in 1 Timothy 5:19, we find this word. or do not receive any accusation against the elder, except on the testimony of two or three witnesses. You know that something has always been found easily to say about those whom God has established and which he uses for the blessing of the church. No one should be given a disadvantageous voice over an elder except to hear it from three completely independent witnesses. It has no value if three people come together to lay a charge. It must be three independent witnesses who have not previously consulted. It would be best if this rule were followed by the whole community. This is Brother Frank putting the strawberry on top of the cake. So all the way shatter will be over soon. I suggest that if a complaint is made against a brother or sister, you will receive it only in the presence of the latter. No one should enter into conversation of this subject without immediately granting the accused the opportunity to make his defense. This is a biblical truth. Is good for the well-being of the church or for the peace of the church. You find it in Matthew. You find it in Deuteronomy 19:15, also in Matthew. As it was in the Old Testament, it's also in the New Testament. In Timothy, 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul writes, "Till I come, give thyself to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Then he exhorts his fellow worker to exercise the gift he has received from God." It is clear from the context that Timothy had received this gift with the laying of the hand of the elders. It is written in verses 14 and 15, "Be not negligent of the gift that is in thee, which has been given to thee through prophecy, with imposition of the hand of the Edward, body of the elders." Also here, the body of the elders, so in the assembly, they can be, is not just the elders, can be, the elders are established by the apostle, but all the servants of God, they can lay their hand upon others. We can see, as we read in first with Paul and Barnabas, the Spirit spoke through prophecies, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. And the same with Timothy. Here he's talking about the body of the elders. It does not speak about the apostle, prophet, but the body of the elders. For this reason, also the elders are men of God, are men of God. We continue to read. "Occupy thyself with these things. Be holy in them, that thy progress may be manifested to all. Finally, I give thee serious exhortation. Paul," continue to read here, "Paul highly value." This for me is a task, said the Lord. Paul highly valued the fact that his fellow worker keep, so he's a fellow worker. They are not less than him or submitted to him or under Paul, but they are fellow workers. That is what people did not still catch in their spirit or did not understand yet. They are fellow workers. So Paul highly valued the fact that his fellow workers keep the same teaching he had received from the Lord. Matthew 24:45. You see? The same teaching that he received from the Lord. That's why many still interpreting the word wrongly, and they make new doctrines and they make new things, and then they spread this spirit, this reality for them. So that is not a reality, a true reality. May God grant grace. Here he spread the same teaching that he received from the Lord. You see, now Brother Frank speaks with clearly that the church was restored. The message came to restore the last messenger. Everything was restored. Everything was put at its place. The only thing is that me, I have to be put at my place. You have to be at your place. And the more you desire it, the more God will work in that way. So the word must come in your life, and God has to give that confirmation for you to be ready for the rapture. The same teaching that he received from the Lord. After the elders are established by the apostle who founded this community, they bear the responsibility before God to continue to provide the same teaching without error. The same thoughts, the same teaching without any other thoughts. The task and responsibility are greater than is generally thought. Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh, the only mediator between God and man. Is Jesus Christ the man? We have to be as the Lord wants us to be. So the responsibility, so the task of the elders and their responsibility are greater than is generally taught. If the elder goes astray, also all the church will go astray, because the interpretation will come and a wrong spirit will enter in, the spirit that is not of God. And slowly, he will start eating, as is written in Joel, the worm, the locust worm and all. But today God has done this for our heart to be in the divine reality, to reach or to have the divine reality. On one of Paul's trips, he requested that the elders of the church be called. We can read the whole chapter to see how he spoke to the elders. But we read in verse 27. Where he say, "For I have not shrunk from announcing to you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, to yourself and to all the flock, wherein the Holy Spirit has set you as overseers, to shepherd the assembly of God, which he has purchased with blood and his own." Notice that in verse 17, the brethren are called elders, but in verse 28, they are called overseers. They are elders, for they are surveying.
God has granted us grace. I continue to read. It's very necessary to recognize that elders are not elected by a vote of the church, but are well placed as overseers by the Holy Spirit. The elders have also the task, of praying for the sick who are members of the local assembly. Be careful. Be careful how many errors. How many wrong things happen in the church. That's because people did not take their position, not knowing the scripture or the word of God as it written here. In the year 80 in Zurich, I assisted to something that was not in the word of God. An evangelist from outside came to visit, and Brother Frank was there in the pulpit, but it was just calm. He let everything to continue. It's written in James 5:14-15. It is any sick among you, let him call to him the elders of the assembly, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So the first thing is to have truly that position in your heart that God has established this thing. Is God who did it. He's not man. Then you see the changement happening also in the heart. You see the changement when you have that assurance that is, it comes from God, not from a man. Because then you pray with faith. So we continue to read. We can take from this word, as we have already pointed out above, that the believer of the community do not have to place their trust in the matter of the passing evangelist, but that they must grant it to the local church elders, who are always willing to pray with the sick. Because the elders, the local church, of the local church, they know them. They know the sheep. It would be advisable for every child of God to reread carefully and in prayer every passage in the Bible that deal with this subject, so that we may again experience in the church of the living God the blessed result after which we have been exciting for so long. Whence everyone will take his position. How can I preach the word of God if I was not sent, or I was not commissioned, I was not called? How can I have that spirit of persuasion if it's not God, the one who does the inner work in me? How can I have this power or this spirit of preaching the word for people to come to him? Now we
It's written in Hebrews 13:17, obey what we read before. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:1-4, the elders which among you I exhort, whom am their fellow elders and witness of the suffering of Christ, who also partake of the glory about to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising oversight, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for base gain, but barely, not exercising lordship over those in charge, in your charge, but being model for the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, ye shall receive the unfading crown of glory. This is the model. This is the model of in the spirit, not in the flesh. So in the word, in the doctrines, in that realization of the, so the having the true, the biblical truth, why Jesus was speaking with authority. Why do Jesus speak with authority? Because he knew that what he was saying, it was that said the Lord. It was the word of God. Hallelujah. That's what we need. And here he continues. Here there's another detail that I'd like to press on it and to show it to you. Peter was an apostle, was also an elder in the local church, also in Krefeld. They are not just elders, but they are also servant of God. Now, there is also a servant of God. Also, Brother Frank, although all things, is the elder, is also an elder, because God has established him in that way, established that in that way. Is that biblical or not? I wrote down here, we can see not just as apostle, but also that the elders having the word of God and the counsel of God. Peter, as an apostle, also saw himself as responsible for the local assembly. That's not Brother Frank responsible of the local church. Just like the elders, because the assembly of church is made up of all the local assembly. So all the small local churches united in the same word, in the same spirit, they form the church of the living God, the church that will be raptured when it will come. For this reason, it's necessary to stay at the same place. It's not necessary to stay at the same place all. So also with Brother Branham, when everyone wanted to move to Jeffersonville, have you never read it? Everyone wanted to move to Jeffersonville because they were thinking the rapture will take place there. Now, so many things, they must be revealed by the Spirit of God in our heart. It's not the place. It's not about the place, but it's the position that you and me have in Christ Jesus. This is important. everything that happens in the church of the living God, whether through prophet, apostle, pastor, doctors, evangelists, or elders and bishops, all is accomplished in divine harmony with the head, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and in relation the one with the others. I believe that this theme is true. I believe, and I hope that with what we read, everyone will try to immerse himself in the knowledge of what we read. And we have also to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is not a church that you come enter like this, but is a divine institution, is the living organism. Every member of the church is born with the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and is filled with the Holy Spirit, and for him to be led by the Spirit of God, the true church of the Lord does not have a passive member. So we were reading here. Amen. So the true church of the Lord does not any passive member. With this we finish I believe also the biblical faith, we read it. If we did not, next time maybe we'll read it. So there's another part. Next time, so we read the biblical faith. Next time we read the biblical faith. So we stop now. If not, it's going to be late. Maybe there's still something that we would like to talk about. And we see how the Lord will lead. May God bless our heart. And I hope that this, what we heard tonight, was clarified. If you have your microphone off, I cannot hear you. And I believe it was this part is finished. And may God bless our heart to let us see our mistakes of the past, for us not to fall again in the same mistakes, but to walk in the spirit of truth. May God bless us. Let us pray and thank the Lord. May God bless us. So let us finish the reunion, the meeting. Then, as the sister have question, if someone else like to stay in the platform, we'll continue. So we speak about what she asked. Who will thank the Lord for what it being said? Lord, we thank you for this blessing, the blessing of your word. And through your word, you are purifying us and you are making us perfect. The word was given to us for that. You
are preparing a church without wrinkles, without and blameless, and what we are hearing purifying us, and your word as we said will make us perfect before thy eyes. To you all the glory, for the brothers, for the sisters which are listening this word with love and desire, may you give peace and joy, strengthen your church. May each one of us keep his place, and from that place to do the service that you have given to him. Glory belongs to you. You are the creator of heaven and earth and also the universe. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. Bless every brother and every sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.